Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from the NFL Network, Cynthia Freeland with the Bull and the Fox. Cynthia, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's great to have you with us. And, you know, the word analytics seems to scare the common man, if you will, the common man, the common woman, the person that maybe, and it drives me kind of crazy because I even in the media, there are a lot of people that don't understand the word, don't understand what it means, don't understand what it has to do with football. To me, I just try to describe it as, hey, it's a way, it's information. And I'm no authority on football analytics, certainly, but is saying it's just information, is that a good, simple way to put it, or can it not be simplified that much?
No, that's a great way to put it. It's information. Look, think about it like this. All you're trying to do is to create the best opportunity to, like, organize your team so that you win, right? So it's just information to help you create, you know, a blueprint for how you're going to do exactly what you're going to do. Because there's so many different parts, right? There's scouts, there's coaches, there's front office executives who are charged with figuring out how much to pay people. There's all these different, so if you align on all of the different data points, then you get a better opportunity to do the thing that you want to do, which is win football games.
You know, Cynthia, I remember reading a book recently. It was called The Cubs Way, and it was in it. There was a quote from Theo Epstein who said, you know, when I first got into baseball, and I understand baseball and football are different, but he said, when I first got into baseball, I was all about the numbers. I was all about the analytics, and I didn't really take into account personalities, chemistry, and stuff like that. He underrated that. I've been saying for a while that I think the perfect situation in any sport, in any walk of life, is to find a balance, because not everything can be done by just information or the numbers or whatever it may be. You've got to have that human element, if you will, to some degree, to balance it and use it together. Does that make sense?
Exactly. That is, like, when people say the analytics told them to do it,
right?
Like, it kind of makes me laugh, because in any business, in any, literally any business, you have this, like, melding of, like, do you have buy-in? Because you can have great information, but if nobody uses it, who cares how great your information is? Or you can have, you know, people who, like, don't want to use any information, and then they go back to making decisions, and then they don't have any way to assess whether or not the process they used was worth it or not, or if they got lucky. You know, like, there's no way to kind of replicate success if you're successful and you don't have kind of an understanding of what drove that success. So it's working together, just like mm-hmm. any other business, right? Like every single business out there.
How tough is the balance, though, to you know, use your human element, obviously, versus having these numbers, and to not just, you know, rely solely on what the computer tells you, or what the data tells you, I should say, as opposed to, like, you know, I was reading an article on Belichick. He sometimes relies on his gut a little bit because of his experience, and not, you know, going back to all the numbers specifically to that moment in that game.
So the funny part, so Bill is wonderful, and he uses analytics. He doesn't call it that, mm-hmm. but he definitely uses analytics.
Yeah.
But here's what it is. There's two parts to the answer. The first answer is that the better you do at communicating what your gut is, so if you're saying, the reason I called a running play for Sony Michel on an outside zone, whatever, was because we've been seeing that they're playing man-to-man, and that was the best way to come at their pressure, whatever, right? Like, and then the more you can listen to that and use that to create the data models, so the more you're using gut and learned, you know, wisdom to inform what kind of data you're looking at and how the lens through which you look at, the better you will get in terms of outcomes, right? So
yeah.
The better you put inputs, better outputs, just like everything else. And then, you know, the other part of that is that, you know, you have to remember, like, there's a lot of egos in football, right? And it's very public. People care about it. And we're lucky that people care so much about every call, right? Bill O'Brien for the Texans getting crushed for some calls. And that fourth down call wasn't the problem. It was their defense playing zone coverage, just letting Travis Kelce just crush the red zone.
Right.
So you know, it's interesting to see, you know, how people care a lot. So there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of money, there's a lot of investment time. So you have to remember that sometimes listening is hard in high pressure situations. So I actually think like that's one of my advantages. Like nobody expects me to know where the safety was supposed to be on the last play, right? Like, so when I ask the question, because I'm a woman, like they're like, oh, well, I'll tell you, right? So I get a chance to listen a lot harder than sometimes when it goes wrong, people stop listening.
It's true. Cynthia Freeland with us, NFL Network. Cynthia, when you hear a guy like Dave Gettleman say, yeah, we just hired a bunch of computer guys.
Computer people.
Yeah, right. Or whatever, however you put it. Well, what's your reaction when you hear that?
I think it's funny. It's a little get off my lawn, right? Like, right. We've been doing it this way forever, and we're going to keep doing it this way. And you're like, well, if you keep doing it this way, you probably have the same results, right? Like, not so great. Look, I think at the end of the day, you have to remember there are who people really are, and then they're like who you are in your presser. Not everyone is equally good at giving a press conference. You know, I know a number of the Giant scouts, and they say that Gettleman's like a really, like, you know, thoughtful, like way different than he comes across in his presser. So, you know, when I hear him say stuff like that, it kind of just, he's kind of showing that he doesn't know, like, he hasn't like taken the moment to like realize, like, you know, what he's really saying. So whatever, like, you know, I think it's funny. It just gives me a good roadmap for like, seems like someone that you could probably beat, right? Like if he's showing that he's not willing to kind of adapt and evolve, like, great, I'll use that to my advantage. I'll put that in my pocket and use it when I'm, you know, consulting for another team in his division.
Cynthia, what do you know about Kevin Stefanski, and do you think this is a good hire for the Cleveland Browns?
You know, I had a chance. I'm a name drop here because whatever. That's nice. I had a chance to talk to Paul DePodesta a little bit about the whole process, and I don't know Kevin Stefanski personally. I've met him once, but that doesn't mean that I know him. He seemed very, like, you know, his presser was super impressive yesterday. He seemed very much like up for the part of coaching that sometimes people who evolve from, you know, he's been with the same organization his entire career. And not to be unfair, but, you know, Minnesota, you know, media, for whatever reason, not as tough maybe as, look, Cleveland is, it's going to be tough because there's just been so much churn. So he handled himself like a pro. He seems really like ready for it. I have a good impression. But what Paul told me that was interesting was that as they were going through the process with all eight candidates, that, like, you know, that part of the reason was, like, you know, you want someone who in this case is like the right blend of like strength when it's time to be strong and like kind of admitting like where you need to like figure out a little bit better, right? Like that was a really cool statement, especially coming from, you know, Paul, because Paul's great. He's very like his energy is like calm and he's decisive and he knows he has like a good clear vision.
I mean, everything you do in sports to some degree, Cynthia, right? It's an educated guess, right? We never know,
of course,
who's going to be a good head coach or if that play is going to work or not, or if that draft pick's going to pan out. Just because, you know, before Joe Burrow, the guy who held the record for most touchdowns thrown in a season was a guy called Brennan, who either, I don't know if he didn't play in the NFL or barely played in the NFL. I mean,
right.
you just never know how these things are going to translate. So the more information you have.
Often a function of opportunity too, right? If you're not in a pass heavy offense, you're just not going to see, like last year with Dwayne Haskins, he threw 50 touchdowns as well. Right. So, you know, but that's because they had to pass, right? Like it's not always that those two things are right. You have no idea. You don't know how it's going to pan out. You don't know who's going to be the quarterback coach. Do they understand the system? Do they have, by the way, we saw it with a little bit with Lamar Jackson this season too, right? Lamar Jackson had an MVP caliber year. He'll be the MVP. But what he didn't see was they didn't play from behind. So he didn't see as many defensive looks when like the walls were crumbling, right? Like he didn't have to play from behind. Like that's how the Browns beat him the first time. That's how we saw the Titans beat them this time. So that's a learning curve. You can't ask someone who's just coming from college to understand complex. I mean, Dean Pease has been coaching the defenses in Baltimore, in Tennessee, in the Patriots. So those are the types of things where you don't know development can take time, right? Like that is not, no one comes out fully. Like if we knew who they were going to be, perfect, bar none, all these scouts would be out of a job.
No question. Cynthia Freeland's with us from the NFL Network. Cynthia, the one thing that we don't know about Stefanski is, you know, how he's going to adapt to the team. And, you know, I worry, too, is the perception of this hire and, you know, Paul DePodesta. You know, I wonder what the players think. I mean, you think the players are on board, or the players think that, like a lot of the fans do, that it's a bunch of nerds or a bunch of computers running the show? That's something that concerns me a little bit.
The funny part is that I don't think that diminishes the part that I think most of these, like us nerds, like I'm one of them. Like the thing that makes me special, and like, look, here's my ego, right? The thing that makes me better than other people who are computer nerds is that I'm able to listen to the human element more, right? I talk to coaches. I love learning from them. There's like nothing better than sitting in a dark room with a coach, watching film, eating a bunch of snacks, and then they swear and they get real into it. It's like really fun. It's awesome, right? But I listen and I take notes on that because that's how I learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to diminish the human element of it, there's Cleveland, the Browns fans just want to win. And I understand like anyone was going to have scrutiny, no matter what process was used to hire someone, there was going to be scrutiny. There's no, it's a function of having gone through so much churn. So ultimately, I think, this was just kind of the narrative that came out of it because of Paul DePodesta and because of his past and whatever. I don't think there's no place where it's really going to be. There are still 22 moving bodies in 22 different directions on every single snap. There's no way a computer, like the best case situations on that are just to have like a better sense of like your scouting report for the other team's tendencies. That's the best you can do with it. Because by the way, you and I and the computer would know, is the left guard like, yeah, okay, he's playing, but that doesn't mean 100% healthy. Maybe he's not, right? Like maybe he's 55%. It's good enough to go, but maybe he had the stomach. Who knows? Like there's so many human functions of that. The point is to take away the stuff to make you less biased so that you could create the right, like overall strategy. And if this is a strategy, like I don't know, like I said, I don't know Kevin Stefanski, but you were going to get scrutiny kind of no matter how it went. This is just the way that it went.
Yeah. I'm not giving the Browns the benefit of the doubt, not because of the path they've chosen, just because every path they've chosen under Jimmy Haslam has been a failure. So even if I'm intrigued by the path, I like that they're aligned. I like that they're going to hire a GM and a coach that believes in what Paul DePodesta and the vision, and they're all kind of on the same page. I like it. I have no faith, though, Cynthia, that Jimmy will stick with the plan, because he has shown you no ability to stick with any plan.
So that's the part I can't speak to, right?
Yeah,
like
right.
The sticking to the plan part, that's hard for everyone, because you get 16 rolls of the dice to see if you can win a game, right? Like, and people care. Like that. It's there's no owner that doesn't want to win. There's no team that doesn't want to win. Everybody's aligned with it. They want to win. And when it doesn't happen, it can be a great plan or it can be for whatever reason. There's a million excuses. But when it doesn't happen, people get antsy, especially people who are used to being very successful.
Cynthia, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.